Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. We are thrilled to have you join us today to worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. My dad, Pastor Salem, urged those around him to open their hearts to Jesus, to put their faith in him, and to be a part of his kingdom. Every day we read such uplifting letters sent to us. We are grateful for your prayers. From Nebraska, a viewer writes, "Over the 88 years that God has given each of us, we have been blessed by many Christian ministries. The ministry that we have appreciated the most is CWH. Pastor Salem's humble sincerity to tell of Christ's love has truly drawn us closer to our Lord Jesus. We thank our God that Christian Worship Hour is on our TV." And from Canada, "Thank you very much for being my church now that I am housebound. I look forward to your service every Sunday morning. Bless you and your staff. I pray for you every morning. May you continue to thrive in our Savior's grace." Now let's listen to my dad share his message, "Seven Complaints of God." God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're so glad that you've opened your doors for us so we can come in and join you and be with you. And we're just going to have a good time worshiping the Lord. All around the world, we're focused on one point, and that is the feet of Jesus Christ. And he draws us together. He says, "If I be crucified on that cross, I'll draw all men unto me." And from all over the world, he draws people to himself, and we're part of that great group all over the world that loves the Lord and trusts the Lord. So we're going to have a sermon today, of course, if we're going to have some letters and all. But the sermon is really an interesting sermon. It's a story from the Old Testament from a prophet named Malachi. And God has seven complaints against the children of Israel. Seven. And we're going to look at all seven of them. And we might just hold our breath because it might touch some of us here. So just get your pencil and paper and join us in a minute. So we're reading from Psalm 119, verses 65 to 72. "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." And, O Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, your precious word, that truly is worth more than thousands of gold and silver. It is that wonderful word of God that will abide forever. And after the stars have vanished from the sky and earth is dissolved in a fervent heat, as Peter tells us, the word of the Lord will endure forever. Thank you for your word, the Bible. And now bless us in this service that everything we do and say may be as we exalt the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And Melissa has a song, a good, wonderful song, and it's entitled, "If I Could Hear My Mother Pray Again." And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
How sweet and happy seem those days of which I dream, when memory recalls them now and then. What rapture sweet my weary heart would beat if I could hear my mother pray again. She used to pray that I on Jesus would rely and always walk the shining gospel way. So trusting still his love, I seek that home above, where I shall meet my mother some glad day. life crown has been won, and she will be at rest with him above. And some glad morning she, I know, welcome me to that eternal home of peace and love. If I could hear my mother pray again, if I could hear her tender voices then, so happy I would be, 'twould mean the world to me if I could hear my mother pray again. If I could hear my mother pray.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And while you're singing, I'm thinking back way, way 96 years ago. And my mother had five children, had four boys and a girl. And at night, every night, she would put us into bed. And then she'd read a Bible story. And she'd have a prayer. Now, my mother was a timid lady, and she couldn't have prayed in public if her life depended on it. But when she was alone with her children, tucked into bed, she could pray, and she would pray for each of us by name. And then after the prayer, she'd give us each one a kiss. 96 years ago, and I never forgot that. And oh, I just tell you, if you have a Christian mother, you just thank God for her. If she's still a living, you be sure to get word to her. Or maybe you're young, some of the children and young people listening, and you just show respect and love to your mother. And what does God say? Honor your father and your mother. So you can't go wrong obeying the word of God and the commandments of God. Well, our letters. We get so many wonderful letters. And along with your gift, we got some of these notes. And I like to share them with you. And we get letters from people that like to hear the letters. And so let's look at some that we have here. And by the way, we read every letter we get, and we try to answer everyone that has a question. But this first one comes from Darlington, South Carolina. And this lady writes, I enjoy your down-to-earth preaching and the good singing. I am 85 and still enjoying life, even though my husband of over 60 years was killed in an accident. They told my two boys I'd not live, but my God had more plans for me, so I'm still here praying and giving God glory. Please pray for me in our Savior's love. And here's a lady whose life was spared, and it was spared because her time hadn't ended. I believe that God has a time for all of us. He has a time for us to be born. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, Jeremiah says, you knew me when I was in my mother's womb. You had a date, a birth date for me, and you have a death date for us also. Because in Psalm 90 and verse 12, the psalmist says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I think there's a day for us to enter and there's a day for us to go. And all we have to do is live out those days honoring Jesus, honoring God, living for God the best we can. And if we do that, there'll be great rewards in heaven. It's great being a Christian. It's wonderful walking with the Lord. Here's Lamberton, Minnesota. Many thanks for your Spirit-filled ministry. We love it every Sunday and pray many souls for eternity and redeem the time, as said in Ephesians 5:16. Our family circle is 40 redeemed souls, one with Jesus, 30 years ago, but we'll meet this little baby at Jesus' feet. Prayerfully yours, and in parents it says, in our 90s. So here's a family, and they've had one little soul go 30 years ago. And but I don't think you're going to find that child as a little baby, because I think that in heaven, I've read other scholars on heaven, and you know, heaven is a perfect place, and a baby isn't perfect until they come to maturity. That body isn't mature until it's of age. And so I believe that that we'll all be in that age group, a wonderful age group, but not the babies. And I thought also, as I read about this little baby, I thought of the millions in America, the USA, who abort those little babies, kill those little babies. Everyone has a spirit and everyone has a soul. Everyone has DNA. And when those little babies enter into heaven, they're going to become mature, strong people of God. And won't that be something to see? There's a lot of things we don't know about heaven, and we don't need to. We know there is a heaven. We know the way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. That's the only way, one door and only one. When we were in Sunday school, we used to sing, one door and only one, and on the sides are two. Which side are you on, or something like that? I don't know. You're supposed to knock at the door. No, Jesus knocks at the door, then you open it, and I don't remember. But I remember there's one door. You know, on the ark, when Noah was there, there was one door. And all of the species of animals from all over the world and all the people that were saved went through that one door. And you know something else? There was a day they closed that door. Noah didn't close it. The Bible says God closed the door and nobody came in after that. And there comes a time at death when we die, that door is closed, and you're in or you're out. And that's why we have the Christian Worship Hour. We just pray to God every service that if you haven't received Jesus personally, that you'll do it. And you could do it right now. Just ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins and promise to love and serve him. That's it. You can do it if you want to, and I hope you will. Well, let me see. Here's Chamberlain, South Dakota. Thank you for all you do to spread the good news of Jesus. My husband is unable to attend our local church, but joins you for church every Sunday. And you know, we hear from so many people that just can't get out. They're bedridden or they're infirm. And boy, I'm going to tell you, I'm 96 and I get around, I have a walker. But you don't jump rope and skip around like we did when we were kids. I'm going to tell you, and some people just can't get out and they can't travel and they can't go to church. And I want you to make a note of this. The Christian Worship Hour, we have a prayer at the close of every service, and you just listen every time we pray for the shut-ins, every time, without fail. Here's Hyde Park, New York. I was just watching your program, and I was really touched by the Holy Spirit while you were praying and preaching. I feel blessed to be able to pray for the unsaved on all of your programs. I don't want anyone left behind. I want all of us to meet Jesus at the rapture. We are so blessed to have a loving Savior like Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus' love, and as she writes, and she talks about the rapture. Now, the rapture simply is when God takes his church out of the world. And there's going to come a time when Jesus will return and just the people of God, all the dead in Christ will be raised and all of the living in Christ will be taken up and will go to meet the Lord in the air. St. Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians, and he says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, that's all the Christians that have died and gone to be with Jesus. Their spirit and soul is in heaven with Jesus. Their body's still on earth, turned to ashes. And the dead in Christ will be raised first. They're going to be raised all over the world, just the Christians. The unsaved are going to be raised at a later time to go to the great white throne in judgment. Oh, dear God, have mercy on their soul. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall remain to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the rapture. And it could happen at any time. It could happen before we have our close this service today. We do not know. We don't know when, but we know it'll happen. Let's see, what else do we have here? Tampa, Florida. I feel so rich to have all my new songs. Stack them now, and they stay on my desk. They're my study, which keeps my eyes on our Lord and His work. Praying for Christian Worship Hour to reach many people who need the precious message that Jesus has given us the privilege to hear. Now 90, I long to see God's hand in each day. It is precious to have your songs. They're a main part of my study of God's Word. Thank you for such clean teaching of God's Word. Well, he's talking about the new song. We have a little publication. We put it out every month, the new song. And now for the month of August, it's going to be pictures of the Bible. Pictures of the Bible, like a hammer or the sword or the mirror. There are all kinds of pictures of the Bible and the Word of God in the Bible. And so I know it'll bless you and it'll strengthen our faith. And so we just hope and pray that you'll, if you want to get a copy of this, it's free of charge. And at the close of the service, we're going to give our address. So get your pencil and paper ready, and then we'll give you the address and the new song. And also, we can put you on our mailing list, and it's free and postpaid, and it's just a wonderful little paper. I just love it. Let me see. We've got time for a couple more here, I think. Adair, Iowa. I am a sinner, a poor, broken, lonely sinner. I have several medical conditions, but anxiety-ridden loneliness is the worst. I have asked Jesus to forgive me and come into my heart and make me feel better. Would you send me any literature on overcoming loneliness and anxiety? Thank you. And so we do, we've sent literature to this dear person. I think it's a man. I can't remember anymore. Doesn't matter. And so we send literature. And what we have to do, see, they're asking about, they feel lonely and they're anxious. And the answer for that is to have Jesus come into your heart. And here she says that she's asked Jesus to forgive me and come into my heart. Well, if you ask him to there, that's where he is. And you said, well, I didn't feel anything. No, you might not feel anything. Some people do and some people don't. But when you read that Bible, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he'll give you peace because you know that your sins are washed away. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so you just say, oh, Jesus, just ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins and promise to love and serve you in the best you can. And then you trust him and lean on him and you'll never be alone again. He'll never forsake you. Oh, we just pray for you, dear friends, write in. Let me see. Here's one more I want to read. Baldwin, Minnesota. I listen to you every Sunday. I hope you live until Jesus returns. Well, if he comes right away, we're all right. But it's next weekend, I don't know. But it says, I hope you live. Your program is such a blessing to me. Please continue to pray for my daughter. God bless you and your staff. Well, you know how long we'll live. We'll live as long as he wants us to. And when the time comes and he wants to take us home, he'll take us home. And whether it comes early in life, I've had funerals for little babies. I've had funerals for children. Saddest funerals in the world. The funerals I hated the most to have to do, to officiate, was for children and young mothers. But that's all, but God had a reason for that. He had a purpose for that. And all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And if you just believe that, then you're safe. You just trust him and you have peace. And he'll help you in your loneliness and he'll take away your anxiety. Yeah, so somebody asked me the other day, well, do you ever get anxious? Do you ever worry? Well, I shouldn't, but I do. I preach all, I have what to do and everything. But doing it is another thing. Because I can give everything to the Lord and I can feel so happy and relieved. And all of a sudden, that thing has come back to me and I'm worrying about it. And it's because my faith isn't strong enough and I've got to just really trust Jesus and give him everything and he'll take me through. And he'll do the same for you. Being a preacher doesn't make a bit of difference. I'm a poor old lost sinner just like the rest of you. And I hope you don't stay lost. I hope you come to Jesus if you don't know him. So now if you'd like to write to us, and if you'd like to get the new song, and then also if you'd like to make a gift, because we have to have your help, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on the Christian Worship on the internet, on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's a place that says donate. And you where all over the world. We get gifts from all over the world. And they send it in, they give their money on their currency, and it comes in American currency. And you get the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then you put on donate and you put what you want, and then we'll get it and we'll carry it on. Because if we don't, we have to have your gifts to carry on. There's no way. And you say, well, I don't have any big gifts. I got small gifts. You know what? Most of the money we get, the most of the support we get is from small gifts. So I hope that you'll write to us. Christian Worship Hour. Those of you on shortwave radio, you can't see the screen very well, can you? Well, it's Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And furthermore, let me just say this. You say, well, what if I send them the money and they use it to buy a new car? Now, 96 years old, don't bet on me buying a new car. Somebody was joking about me buying a sports car with the roof come down. Well, Lord have mercy. You know, talk about a wild imagination. But even if I wanted to, I couldn't, because we are a member. The Christian Worship Hour is a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It was started by Billy Graham. And they check our books. They audit our books, and they check how much we get and how much we spend and how we spend it. And we couldn't cheat if we wanted to. But we got an honest group of people, and we love the Lord. And when you give, it'll go where it should go. So we're going to look for your help now. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord leads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the multitudes over the past for almost 40 years, many of them now in glory, many of them who are receiving the treasures sent before. Many of them are gone, but new ones are coming, and you're raising up new people all the time, and we thank you for each one and for their prayers and their gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you, and thank all of you for supporting and what you're sending us. Thank you, and God bless you. We're reading from Malachi chapter 3 today, and our sermon is entitled Seven Complaints of God, and it takes place in the Old Testament, and God has some complaints against his people, against Israel, and so he calls a prophet named Malachi. And he said, I want you to preach. And, you know, when you preach something people don't like, boy, you're on the hot seat. But Malachi did it. He preached it no matter what they did, threw eggs or whatever. I don't know what they did in the Old Testament, but they didn't take to it very good, I can tell you that. And so, but he says, God says there's seven things. So we're going to look at those seven things. And by George, it just might apply to this century, the very day we're in. So stay tuned and don't miss it, because maybe Maybe God's got a complaint in your life. I don't know. We'll find out. But this is the message he gives. Even Malachi chapter 3, starting with verse 7, if you're reading along with us. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from my ordinances. You have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be my delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And so, Heavenly Father, you're talking to your people, but we are your people, that we Christians who name the name of Jesus, Christ ones, Christians. Well, this message is for us. And so, Lord, as we look into your word and look into these seven complaints, may we search our hearts and our souls and walk closer with our God. We're praying, Lord, always pray for the persecuted church. And now today we're praying for those in Malaysia. There are people laying down their lives. There are people losing their homes. There are people that are being hurt and persecuted. There are children that have lost their parents and their whole families that lost their homes. Dear Lord, how your people are suffering today. And we just pray that we know you'll be with them, but help them to know that they're an encouragement to us. And we are stronger Christians, better Christians, because we see their life and their genuineness, that they serve you unto death. And may we be willing to do the same thing. Give us grace to do that. So now bless us in this service, that all our eyes and thoughts will be on Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. But before I preach away, Barb's going to sing. And she has a song, I'll Pray for You. And listen to the words of this song.
I saw an old friend at the market, standing in the checkout line. She began to share her story, then I told her mine. It was clear we both knew heartache, so before I turned to go, we made a simple promise that would lighten both our loads. I'll pray. Pray for you. You pray for me. What a privilege and honor to know that God is there and to have his full attention anytime and anywhere. Sometimes when we're talking, conversation turns to you. As your name and needs are mentioned, God lifts my spirit too. I'll pray for you. Anything can happen in his name when we pray for you. You pray for me.
Well, thank you, Barb. And isn't that a wonderful thought? You pray for me and I'll pray for you. And you know, we get letters and they listen to the letters and they say, you know, I prayed for those people. You read about some people and they wrote about some needs that they have and I prayed for them. And when we pray for the persecuted church, that means all over the world, we are praying for the persecuted church. Like this week, we're praying for the church in Malaysia, the persecuted in Malaysia. And isn't that wonderful? That whole focus, the whole world is focused on Malaysia, one place, praying for those people. Well, you can do that for these letters. You people, some are lonely. Some are caught up in drugs. Some are going through hard times physically. And others are young people who don't know what to do in life and what choice to make. And so all these things, you pray for me, I'll pray for you. And when we get to heaven, we'll see there was a lot more power in prayer than we ever dreamed. But we have to get to my sermon, my wonderful sermon. Oh, I just love my sermons. And a lot of people don't care for them very much, but I sure like them. And you know, go to a pastor and say, I didn't like your sermon. You know what that's like? That's like you going to a young mother and say, I think your baby's ugly. That's just exactly what you're saying. So I like my sermon. It's a beautiful baby. And just listen to what's about. It's about God has a complaint against the people of Israel, the children of Israel. And as a matter of fact, he had 7 complaints. And so he calls on a prophet. When he wanted to send a message to the people, he called on a prophet, the Old Testament. New Testament, he calls on pastors. And he says, you pastors, you get up there and preach my word. And some of them preach it like a house of fire. And some of them, they dodge all around. You don't know where they're at. But Malachi was true. There's a false prophet and there's a good prophet. There's a true prophet. He was a true prophet. And he came on the picture. And you know something? We don't know a thing about Malachi, except we know that his name means messenger. That's all we know. And that's all we have to know. You don't need to know my name or anybody else's name. You just need to know the word of God, what God has to say. So here he is. The underlying problem throughout Malachi is that God is complaining to Israel the laxity and the lukewarmness of God's people. Now, if that applies today, I don't know what wouldn't. The laxity and the lukewarmness of God's people. These 7 complaints all go on that. What are they? The first one is they do not honor God. And this is what Malachi says in the first chapter, verses 6 and 7. A son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. That is, so God is saying, you call me your father, you give me no honor. You call me my master, you give me no fear. God says they bring polluted bread. Now, that doesn't mean that they brought moldy bread. That would be because the people say, wherein? We don't bring moldy bread. We don't do that. But here's the problem. Polluted by the hands of them that placed it there. It wasn't the bread itself. It was the heart of the people that brought it. And they were polluted. And so the bread was polluted. God is saying, no polluted man can offer pure bread upon mine altar. In taking or rejecting gifts, God measures them by the character of the one who brings them. These men were not accepted by God, and nor was their gifts, because their hands were impure and their hearts wasn't right, and they had drifted from God, and they didn't honor him as their father, and they didn't honor him as their master. That's why we cannot purchase our salvation, because he won't accept anything from it until we are right, and we'll never be right until we have Christ in our heart, my heart and your heart. And so the first complaint is that people didn't honor him. They showed him no respect. And I listen on television, and we have some wonderful things on television, like the Christian Worship Hour. And then you'll hear some of them cursing, taking the name of the Lord in vain on television. Oh, no, they don't honor God at all. And then the second thing, they were putting God second. Verse 8, it says, When you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? So they were bringing their offerings. Yes, they brought their offerings, but they brought the blind and the lame and the sick. And the deformed, and the lamb placed upon the altar should be what the Bible says, should be without spot and without blemish, and it shall be up a whole week. So they inspect it and watch it. They see there's no deformity in that lamb, and then they could offer it. And they're bringing the blind and the sick and the lame. Lord, have mercy. But you know, this always happens when people don't first give themselves to God. Before long, they're holding it off. They don't give themselves to God, they're holding it back for themselves. And they're stacking up riches and fame and fortune and all of the rest. And it all goes to them when they ought to be giving it to God. See? And they're not putting God first, they're putting him second. So he keeps the best for himself, these people do. And God says it isn't right and it is sin. And this is mean and little on their part to come in with an offering like that. So God says, offer it to your governor. Will he be pleased? Will he accept that, what you're giving to me? So he holds back the best for himself and he gives God the cripples. And take note of this. When God says that your heart is right, he notices how much we give. You remember the story of the little woman, the little widow woman, and she's taking her offering to the Lord, and it says that God watches, and he's seeing what she's doing. And so God honors us by what that offering costs us. If you can say, I give to God and I don't even miss it, keep it in the first place. He's saying, I want something that costs you to show that you love me. That's what he's saying. If you say, I don't miss what I give, well, then just look at the little widow with the two mites with make a farthing. And Jesus watched what they put in the offering. Now, if the pastor goes in and stands over, watches whatever he put in the offering, you'd have a conniption, wouldn't you? But God watches it all the time. And if you put in a penny, and we have some people put it in the Depression days, they put in a button. They didn't have much money, and so what little they had, they clung to it. My mother always gave 10% of every penny she got. And then she didn't give what was left over. She gave it first to the Lord. And she taught her boys to do that. And I have three of those boys out of the four that I know of gave 10% and more to even to their old age, and they're in their 90s. And so God watches what we're giving, and he watches us because it shows how much we care for God. And so that was his complaint. They were making him second. Well, then God comes on, and he says that they were giving because they wanted to get something back. Well, here it says in verse 10, who is there among you that would shut doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle on mine altar for naught. That is, they were expecting if they did something for God, he'd do something for them. And they were saying, why, we're kindling the fires for the sacrifices, and we're opening the doors of the tabernacle. Later, it was the doors of the temple. We're doing all those things because we want God to reward us, and we want God to bless us, and we want something for us if we do something for him. Now, God is going to reward us for our services, and he is going to reward and give us that treasure if it's given in the right sense. But if it isn't given right, it doesn't count a penny. We used to have stories about Pat and Mike, and they went to church, and they always went late, so the offering, after the offering was taken. And one time the pastor got smart, and he changed the order of service, and Pat and Mike came in, and they took the offering after Pat and Mike were in there. And they got befuddled when it came by, and they put in a $5 bill. And then after the service, they went to the treasurer, and they says, oh, I meant to put in a dollar, and I put in five. Could I have $4 back? Said, nope, you gave it to the Lord. I can't give it back to you. Well, poor old Pat, he's heartbroken. He says, well, at least I'll get credit for $5. Treasurer says, no, you get a credit for a dollar. That's what you intended to give. So let's be careful that we're not doing these things for God like a slot machine. We're putting something in so we're going to get something back. And then the people are getting tired of worship, God tells us. And these people tired of worship because they were just, well, it says here in verse 13, he also said, behold, what a weariness it is. And you have snuffed at it, you sniffed at it, you left it out. And so they don't want to hear the preaching of the world, and they get tired of hearing the Bible, and they don't want to hear the Word of God. And so we have to do something to get them. And so we have movies, and we have all of the rest, and we have vestments, and we have the incense, and we have candles, and we have all of the rest. They want sermons that are filled with froth on how to live and how to get about. They don't want these sermons that says thou shalt and thou shalt not. We don't want those sermons that talk about hell. We want the sermons that talk about heaven. That's what we want. And why are we doing this? Because these people really have no place for God, and they've drifted away from God. So we need to be careful that we're coming because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We're coming because we want to learn more about him. We're wanting because we want to become better people, stronger people for the Lord. That's what we want. The importance of thing is that they didn't have their hearts in the worship of God. They were just in a going through the form and the ceremony. They weren't really out of their hearts. They weren't serving God. They were glad when the sermon was over and they could get out of there and go and eat dinner. They didn't need all of that stuff. And that's what made God's heart ache and made his anger burn, because these people were tired of worshiping God. And then he goes on, the fifth thing, that people were making light of sin. Boy, are we hitting the 21st century. Dear God, you couldn't have made this any better if it was. It's the living word of the living God, and it's relevant for every day and age. No matter what the day might be or even in the future, is always applicable. And listen to what he says here in chapter 2 and verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or where is the God of judgment? The people are saying, the Lord is pleased with evil. The Lord is said, the people are saying, not the Lord, the people are saying, the Lord is pleased with evil. He's happy that you're doing these things and you're getting off base, but he is so loving. You just go ahead. It's just okay. He says, God, they're saying, God doesn't care about justice. And in other words, they were making light of sin. It doesn't matter what you preach. It doesn't matter if you skip half of the Bible. It doesn't matter if you leave out the hard things and just do the fancy little things about heaven and how to be happy. They were making light of sin, something unsightly. They say, oh, instead of a sin, they say, I made the wrong choice. No, you sinned. That's what you did, plain old sin, rotten sin. And God will, but it was a bad decision. God will wink at it. God, he's like an old grandpa, and he's on his rocking chair, and he just kind of looks the other way, and you just live like the dogs and the hogs or whatever you're going to live. They were saying that God overlooks it. They were saying God is love, and God is love, and he won't judge you. And I'm going to tell you, when you have somebody that says that God loves us so much, he will never judge us, it is downright treason. It's exactly what it is. Because this great God Almighty says that he is going to judge sin. And when they sin and when they get away from God, he's going to judge God and they're going to have to pay. And there's not only a heaven, there's a hell. And they're going to sow what you reap. And God's, and if we don't preach that word, we're going to, pastors are going to stand up and we're going to meet God someday because we're held on a higher level. That is, we're handling the word of God. And you need to rightly divide the word of truth. And that these people weren't doing. When we abandon God's word, we have people who don't want to hear anything about judgment. Well, when we abandon God's word, we have people who want only to hear that God loves them. He loves them all to pieces. They can't stand it. He loves them so much. They love them. They'll live like hell and they'll go to heaven. When we talk like that, it shows we don't know what really love is. And unless we have a clear vision of what sin is and call sin what it is, we will never really love the lost sinner because you're leaving him in his sin. He's going to die in his sin and he's going to be in a Christless eternity. So God talks to these people and urges these people to listen to him and to obey him. And then he goes on in the sixth. There were seven complaints. Number six, they robbed God by not giving tithes and offerings. This is what he says. Verses, chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. Will a man rob God? You rob me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, shall not be room enough to receive it. God tells him, to the people, you have robbed me by holding your tithes and your offerings. Now, God told us 10%. That was the tithe. A tithe means 10%. And over the tithe, the people were to give offerings over the 10%. When we come to the New Testament, Jesus endorses the tithe. Sometimes people say, oh, that's under the law. The tithe is under the law. And we're under grace, and so we don't have to do it anymore. Well, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, that's easy to remember, 23, 23. Look it up. This is what it says. Jesus is talking. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Boy, did he preach. He wasn't a mamby-pamby. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done and not leave the other undone. So they were out to, they took 10%, and this is what they did. They measured it so close that they counted the leaves. And Jesus says, that's fine if you want to do that. But he says, you've left out mercy and faith and judgment, the teachings of God, and you should have done both. But he endorsed the tithe. As a matter of fact, God instructs St. Paul to tell his people that under grace we are to give more than a tithe. It should be us. God hath prospered you. And that's in 1 Corinthians 16:1. You give us God. If he's given a little, give a little. Give that 10%. If he's prospered, you really prosper, you give more. R.G. Letourneau had made so much money, he kept 10% for himself, and he gave 90%. To God and to God's work. And that every once in a while somebody, well, if I made money like R.G. Letourneau, I'd give 90% too. You know what I always say? I says, you give 10% now? Well, not exactly. Well, I said, if you don't give 10% now, you wouldn't give 90% if you had all the money in the world. That's all there is to it. And God is saying, you're robbing, you bring, he talks about this widow woman again. And he saw what a great offering she gave. And she gave far more than 10%. And so we need to give. And the sixth complaint of God was, you're not giving your tithes. You're not giving your offerings. You're not being true to me as you should be. And then the final, number seven was, the people were misrepresenting God. He says in Malachi 3, verses 13 and 14, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein have we spoken so much against thee? And he says, ye have said it is vain to serve God and that ye have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. The people were misrepresenting God. The man who stands up and beats his chest and says, I hate God, he's no challenge to the church. He's no challenge to Christianity. But when a man steps up and says, I love God, and that's the kind of man he's dealing with here. And he gets up in prayer meeting, he says, I love God, and he goes out and cheats people all week. That's the one that hurts the church. Not that blow body out there yelling, I hate God, and there is no God. That's so ridiculous, nobody pays attention to him, except the fools. And so they're no problem. But this is the hypocrisy that's the worst in all of the world, is when you claim that you love God and you hold your place in your church or wherever you're at and you're doing all these things, and then you, instead of serving him as your king, you deny his kingship and you live your own life, and you have your, it's hypocrisy at the worst when you claim so much and do so little. I had one talk about one man I knew, a Christian man, claimed to be a Christian. Maybe he was, I don't know. But around town, they called him the Christian crook. And that's what Malachi's talking about here. You need to be careful that you'll be open and honest. And so Malachi delivers the message. And what happened? What happened? Did they listen to the preacher? I'm going to tell you, every time I preach, this happens. There's some that say they turn away and have no part of it. There's some that say, I got to think about it. And there's some that'll say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. Every time I preach, I know that happens. And so here's the answer in Malachi 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that brought a thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. There are always those who will listen and all of those who will follow. So the challenge of God, listen to what he says. He says, prove me now herewith. Put me first. Put me to the test. Remember what he says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6? He said, you serve me with your whole heart, honestly from the depths of your heart. And he says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. He will bless us and help us. And I'm 96 years old, and I want to tell you, God has blessed me in so many ways. I couldn't even enumerate all of them. And that's in the physical realm. And when you get into the spiritual realm, there's no end to you. You can't see the end of them all. He keeps his word. And then the promise of God. Prove me now if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The word really means until there shall not be a sufficiency. In other words, God is going to keep pouring out things until his own sufficiency runs out. And well, when will God run out of his power and his might and his blessings? Never, ever. And so I guess we have to say, where are you? How do you measure up? How do I measure up? I got to listen to my own sermons. And who am I? I'm the biggest hypocrite in the world if I don't try to practice what I preach. But where are you? Now the first step is come to Jesus. Accept Jesus. Ask him into your heart. And you just say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And you write to us, so let's get it on the screen, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. You write to us, and we'll send you literature to help you on the Christian Worship Hour. We'll help you to get started in the Christian life. And then you can write to us, and we'll read your letters, use your letters, and yes, help us as we carry on this work. We just pray these things, and we're going to pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, We just want to thank you for this time together with your people. We pray that you bless this service and use it to honor your son. We pray, Lord, for all of the young people and those who are having struggles. We're praying for the shut-ins. We're praying for those who are far off in sin, need to come to you. We're thanking you for those that open their heart to you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're going to be looking for that letter, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you can pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And as the days go by, maybe this will be the day the Lord will come again. I don't know. But we can be genuine. We can't be perfect. And when we fail, we just ask Jesus to forgive us. And he'll forgive us 1,000 times over. He says if we confess our sins, he'll forgive us our sins. And if you fall down 1,000 times, get up, ask for forgiveness, and carry on and move on. Never give up. And the Lord Jesus will be with you, and he knows our heart. People don't know where we are. They can make their judgments, and most of the times they're wrong. But he looks at our heart. And if your heart is right, no matter how sinful you've been, he'll take you in. He'll make you his child. He'll wash away your sins. You'll be his child forever. So I just pray for each one of you, and you pray for us, and pray for the persecuted church. And then next week we're going to be here, and we'll all gather around the throne of God. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.